Getting healthy on a budget can be tough, but that's where Nourish comes in. Nourish connects you with a registered dietitian for expert nutrition advice without the high cost. The best part? 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket since Nourish works with hundreds of insurance plans like Blue Cross Blue Shield, Aetna, and United. Meet with your dietitian online from home or message them through the Nourish app for extra support. Staying healthy has never been this affordable. Match with your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
We are down with the king topic of the day, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and his contract extension with the Blue Jays. And what does that mean for really both the Mets and the Yankees? Vlad gets 14 years, $500 million, you know, roughly $35 million per year. He is 26 years of age. So immediately the thought is, okay, well, what does that mean for Pete Alonso? And you have Vlad off the table for the Mets, but you also have the Blue Jays out of the mix, you would think, for Pete Alonso. And ultimately, to me, it feels like, and it's not just based on the hot start, it's all things considered, it still feels like, while I wouldn't get a deal done now, I don't think that's imperative, it still feels like Pete and the Mets, at this point, are probably destined for a long-term marriage.
It seems like that more than not. What I think is probably the most interesting component here is whether or not Stearns changes his philosophy on what I believe has been driving the, I don't want to say anti-Pete stuff, I don't mean that, but it doesn't seem like Stearns was in a rush to run up to the altar and marry Pete Alonso. I think if the Mets had a different GM with different philosophies, I think that he would have convinced Cohen early in the process to retain Pete. I can't prove this. I think the biggest deterrent in the retaining or the retention of Pete longer term was David Stearns.
See, I
believe that myself.
I disagree with that only because we did see a different general manager try to extend Pete Alonso, and they couldn't. Pete said no. Then that different general manager, obviously referring to Billy Epler a couple of years ago, tried to inquire about trading Pete. I'm not saying he tried to trade Pete and couldn't, but there were talks about trading Pete. This was after the contract negotiation. So you saw one GM try to extend them at what they thought was a fair market value. Pete's people said no.
Before Boris.
So Epler identifies it by saying, okay, we're not giving him more than this, which means we should try to maximize our return now. So you had essentially two GMs, Epler and Stern, saying we're not going to go above whatever the, you know, Pete thinks his value is worth. We're not going above market value.
Yeah, but the Epler contract was what, 8 for $160?
I think fewer years, if I'm not mistaken.
But it was about 160. Yeah. What was it? How many years for Pete? Well, I know it was 160. You mentioned this
before. The one that he turned down.
The one that he turned down a couple years ago with Epler, 7 years, whatever it was. Well, I mean, listen, I understand that, but I think that there's somewhere in between. So the Epler stuff, let's say right. 7 for $165, $170, right in the neighborhood, and the Stearns slash Cohen, you know, 1 year plus an option, I think there's more in between. And I think that, you know, Stearns just got here. So he is not intimately aware, and maybe he doesn't care about this, but maybe he's just a cutting, callous decision maker. I think he's starting to realize how much Pete means to the Mets fan base. Now, you don't overpay for that, but provided the production begins to resemble what it used to be, and there's early signs that that is the case, I think there could be a, I don't want to say a radical shift, but a thawing on Stearns' part to go an extra 2 or 3 years. Not 7, not 8, not 6, maybe not even 5, but more than the 2 that he signed this past offseason.
Yeah, and I don't know all the details. I'd love to know them. One day maybe we will get them. It was 7 for $158 that Pete turned down a couple years ago. So now you tack on, you know, what he's made since then, plus this year, plus the new contract. I don't think that Stearns doesn't want Pete. I really do believe it's about the market. What you're saying, a lot of people thought, and a lot of people felt, And Cohen came out and said, I'm not getting in the way of this. I'm leaving this up to David Stearns and also the market. And I just don't know, like, where are we getting that Stearns wouldn't want him back when the market is saying that the Mets actually overextended to a certain degree to bring Pete back. Now, the market may have changed with this Vlad thing, maybe with Pete's performance if he has a monster year.
I don't think it even impacts him there. I really don't.
Okay.
He's not getting anywhere near that.
So then where do we, why would you think that Stearns wouldn't want Pete back other than him looking to get Pete back at what he's worth?
I think the only reason Pete's back is because the fans spoke at the Fan Fest, the Amazing Day. I think that's the reason. I think that it just got to a point where the Mets had such a splash with Soto, and I think that they thought everything was going to be amazing, almost as if they had all of the equity from the Met fan because they were a playoff team a year ago. They overachieved. Stearns, the young GM, Cohen spending money and, you know, landing Soto from the Yankees. When they heard that, and you were there. That I saw it on social media. You actually felt it. You heard it. It was a real thing. Now, I think it's so unique. I don't think that will ever happen again where fan sentiment shifts a dynamic within the Mets front office. I believe it did that day. And I believe that will allow the Mets, Reed Stearns, to now evaluate him a little differently. Not an overpay, not, hey, take me out to the woodshed because, you know, you're going to hit 500 home runs here. We'll give you whatever you want. No, I think that when Stearns got here, he was predisposed to moving on from Pete. I think what he heard from the fans and what he's seen from Pete now, I think he's changed his mind.
Maybe, but I still think that he wanted him back and that Pete and his agent were the problem in trying to get way more than what the market was saying. And Stearns and Cohen were frustrated because they're saying, we want you back. Here's what we're willing to give you. Where is the market saying you're worth? Again, I'm just going to throw out a figure. Let's say Alonso and Boris are saying we want $200 million, and Cohen and Stearns are saying nobody is close to offering you $200 million. So here's our offer, whether it's 3 years, $90 million, or, okay, fine, you want to take, you know, fewer years than that, we'll give you the 1 year, $30 million. I don't think that Stearns and Cohen's desire to bring Pete back were the problem. I really believe that Pete and Boris thought that they were worth certain things, and the market just said, you're not even worth close to that. And then, yeah, I think Cohen exposing the negotiations at the Fan Fest, which, by the way, I was there, but not in that room.
Oh, God.
Just to clarify, I did not. I saw it just like you on social media. Mm-hmm. We were all over the ballpark there. But anyway, when Cohen opened up with that, and it kind of exposed the negotiations a little bit, and he said, look, I understand the booing. I'm frustrated, too. We want the player back. That did reopen negotiations and probably eventually end up getting the deal, you know, led to getting the deal done.
And by the way, I'm not absolving the Mets brass, the Boris camp of any, you know, wrongdoing. I think that everybody's, yeah, that's wrong. Wrongdoing is the wrong way. You're looking for a contract like there's a crime. But I think that everybody was complicit. I think that they were too aggressive, too unrealistic. I think Pete was dug in. I think Pete was, you know, not feeling the love. And I can understand this human to human, person to person. Hey, Soto, even Pete, who's a confident ballplayer, can't think that he's worth what Soto got. And if he does, he's completely delusional. But I do think it's fair for Pete back then to say, I mean, what else do I have to do here? I was drafted by this team. I'm the most prolific power hitter in franchise history. I'm going to prove that literally when I surpass Strawberry. And they don't even want me. And they won't even offer me $150. And they're giving this guy a sweet $800 million. Now, they're very different players, and I get that. I think it broke down on every level. I think Pete broke down as a player. I think that Cohen really gave, I don't say too much power to his GM because I don't think that that's a bad thing. You hire somebody to let them do their job, and he did. But I also think that the Mets were perilously close to losing him to Toronto. And I think with the reaction at Amazing Day, remember, what ensued after that was I believe it was in Boca, somewhere in Florida, where Cohen went to him and he's like, come on, let's figure this out. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he would have been so motivated to do that if he didn't hear what he heard in Queens that day. And who knows what happens if they don't meet. I don't know.
So what do you think is going through, just to further the conversation, Pete's mind now, when because you brought up the Soto comparison where we know that's not, you know, that's apples to oranges here. But Guerrero Jr., even though he's, 4 years younger than Pete, it's still a much better comp, first baseman to first baseman. And Vlad gets $500 million, and Pete Alonso is going out there through the first nine games playing like an MVP. What do you think he and Boris are thinking that they are worth now. If they thought 200 or 250 before, don't you think that they're still going to have a huge number attached to them?
Human nature would probably prevail, but I think the data and Boris's presentations all about, this goes back 30 years ago where he would present PowerPoints and before that, you know, just folders of information why his client's worth X, Y, and Z. I have to think that, yeah, it ups the ante, and it probably skews it a little bit to a bit of an unreasonable place, particularly if Pete keeps this up. But I don't. Here's what I don't think is going to change. I don't think there's going to be great interest for Pete around baseball. I don't think that will change.
Right.
I don't. So I think that what will change is if this continues to look good. I didn't like Pete batting third. I've said that. But if this Soto's not even hitting yet. Neither is Lindor, although he's showing signs coming up little piece by piece. But like once Soto starts clicking, and Alonso puts up the numbers, I think he's going to put up. I think that this gets resolved fairly easy.
Do you think Pete's half the player that Vlad Guerrero Jr. is?
Half the player?
Yeah.
I do.
Okay, that's me
I
too.
Do.
Like I don't think that that's an unfair thing to say.
Some so you say 250 if you want to be
well,
literal right
well,
down the middle?
I'm just saying from Pete, I'm not saying I would do that.
Yep.
I'm saying if I'm Pete Alonso, now age is a major factor here in the length.
No question.
But even if you divvy it out and say, okay, we'll remove the 4 years, the extra 4 years. Right, so from 14 and take it at, so 10, and what would that be, BT? 10 times 35, it's 350.
Yep.
Okay, 10 times, right, because you're getting roughly $35 million a year. So 10 for 350, that's the equivalent from Vlad if you just take off the 4 years.
Yep.
So let's say Pete is worth half of that even. So half of, what did I say, 350? All right, you're talking about 180, roughly, 180 for the 5 years. And if I'm Pete Alonso, I got to be thinking minimum that, which if he were getting, if he got 180 for another 4 years, 180 times 35, what am I doing here? No, 35 times 4 would be, right, so that's 140. So then on top of this year would make that 175. That's where you're getting that would be 5 years in total, including this year. So you'd have to extend him, let's say, for another for $35 million over the next 4 years. That's $140 on top of this year, which I'm sure the Mets didn't offer him that in the offseason. I don't know if he's going to get that on the open market, but even that would be probably less than what Pete Fields is worth. I think they're going to be hunting a $200 million contract.
Okay, I think that you're probably right. They won't get it. They can hunt. They can use any type of weapon they want. They won't get it. Nobody's giving them funny money. He's not, even if he is half the, which he is, he's certainly half the player Vlad Guerrero is.
Oh, right.
He ain't getting that. He's just not getting that for whatever. They're desperate. And by the way, this is I don't know the answer. Is Vlad getting Canadian money? How does this work? It's an important question because the Canadian dollar, I know it's going to fluctuate here. One Canadian dollar equals 70 cents of one
it's
United
American.
States dollar.
I'm sorry. Zoo was
American
it's American.
Dollar.
Yeah.
So if he's getting $500 million, but it's 500 Canadian,
It's
not. It's 500 American.
Yeah.
Okay. Just want to double check. I think that is the perfect storm where he is younger. Nobody's taking their money. I think that Vlad, he loves Toronto. He's even said that. I love Toronto. I think that the Mets, back to Pete, though, because that's what we really care about. I think that Pete's relationship with the Mets hit an all-time low. And that's okay. Sometimes you can get to an all-time low person to person, person to company, and recover and become stronger because of it. There was a point, I'm not going to lie to you, where it felt like it was irreparable. Like, not that they were showing Pete a lack of respect, because I thought where they were contract-wise was commensurate with his downtick in performance. I thought the Mets were reading the market right.
Right.
Just like I think that they will adjust and eventually read the market right, not Vlad Guerrero right, but more right than what they gave him this past offseason.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. 888-808-1019. We've also talked a little bit of Yankees and a lot of Knicks getting excited. This is four games to go. Knicks are the healthiest that they've been all year. Brunson is back. He looked pretty good yesterday. A little rust, of course, but playing a bunch of minutes, 35 minutes or whatever it was, and the Knicks win over the Suns. You got Robinson back. You got Anunoby taking his game to another level. And this is going to be it, BT. Four games to go to find out what this team, against some quality teams here, against a team that they may be playing in the first round in Detroit. They got Boston coming up tomorrow night. You got Cleveland as well, the top two teams in the conference, and a potential first-round matchup. So an important final four games for the Knicks.
It is, and it's going to be a fun couple of games here. You guys know where I stand on these Knicks. I don't think that they're built to win a championship. I don't want to have to keep saying that. Hopefully you guys just know that. I hope I'm wrong. But there's no more excuses. I mean, when they first made the trade, you got to remember this. They made the trade for Karl Anthony Towns right before the start of training camp. That's a quick insertion, and obviously you get rid. Now, Hartenstein, they couldn't control based on the CBA. It's not the Knicks' fault. He was just worth more than the $16 million they could have given him. So we certainly, you know, we give them a pass on that. The DiVincenzo Randle trade, yeah, of course you have to make that trade. Even though I love DiVincenzo and did respect Randle, but you know, Cat got here late. You know, Brunson, obviously Mikal Bridges got here. A lot of moving parts. Their bench was very different. There was just a distribution of shots. They had to learn what roles and how to allocate those roles. They had a lot of injuries. So there's no more excuses. Everybody's back right. Everybody's back healthy. And now it's go time. And it's time for them to prove me wrong. And I hope that they do.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Frank is in Mattawan talking about the Mets. What's up, Frank?
Hey, how are you, fellas?
Good.
You know, we always have Stevie Cohen saying, oh, the Mets, the fans have to come out and support the team. And I was at opening day, and I was somewhat disappointed about the experience, at least getting into Citi Field. You know, I get it. We're all excited about opening day. Get there at 12 o'clock, and the parking lots aren't even open. So now the traffic is backing up onto the Grand Central Parkway, 45 minutes just to get into the parking lot. Then you get out of the car, and then, you know, the gates aren't open yet.
But, Frank, what do you want them to do?
Well,
I mean, that's opening day. I've been opening day. I went to 18 straight opening days at Shea Stadium and Citi Field, and every single time there's mass amounts of traffic. You got to know that you got to get there early. That's it. And even if the gates aren't open, you got to wait until they open. Like, there's certain rules. I'm not sure what you want. There are things you could get on the Mets for. I'm not sure this is one of them. What do you want them to do?
Why can't they open up the parking lots at 11:30? You know, just to get in and out a little easier. You know, okay, so we can disagree on that. I will tell you, the one thing, the biggest ovation on the player introductions was Alonso. And I think that sends a clear message that he's the most beloved Mets player that there is. I personally did not cheer for Guerrero at all. I didn't hear that much of a excitement from the crowd when he was introduced.
Yeah, it was a storyline.
Alonso got the biggest cheer for anybody.
It was, and thank you for the call, Frank. We appreciate you checking in. And I'm not saying obviously it's not a pleasurable experience when you go in and deal with that many people going to the ballpark.
Even more, Chelo, it was like 15,000 more seats.
Yeah, it's never good. I remember years where I'd miss, you know, I forget, was it 2006? It might have been 2006 where I was about to miss I think I did miss the first ceremonial pitch, you know, celebrating the 20-year anniversary of the 86 team.
Who threw it out?
Orozco, if I'm not mistaken.
Jesse was there. All right, cool.
Because parking was a disaster. I complained about it on Mike and Chris the next day, of course. I'm doing exactly what Frank did back then. But I went there early, and they moved you all the way to the tennis parking lot.
Oh, gosh.
I forget the name of the, what is it, Roosevelt? Underneath the 7 line, underneath the subway line. Like, that was closed off. Disaster. It's disastrous every opening day. You got to plan for that. As far as the ovations go, I thought Lindor got the loudest ovation myself with the MVP chants and the loud ovation. Somebody who was in the crowd told me that it was Soto, and now you're hearing Frank, who was also there, saying it was Alonso. So I think it was close enough, though, between Lindor, Soto, and Alonso.
And there are three very different storylines. I mean, you know, here's the new hero. We just got him from the Yankees. That's one ovation. Here's the other guy that we thought we were going to lose, who we've loved since minute one. He's back, and oh, yeah, by the way, he's playing well, and we thought we might lose him to Toronto. Yeah. That's another ovation. And the other guy who got off to a really bad start here, certainly an ominous start, and Mets hadn't won a lot with him. And if it wasn't for Otani, you say that he should have won the MVP. I don't agree, but I can see why some would say that. He finished second either way. Anyway, you cut it. And he had some monster moments late. That's a different ovation. So I was trying to detect that as well because I forgot to record it. And I called my wife. I said, do me a favor. Put on SNY. Just record. I love the player intros going back to when I was a kid. I love it in the postseason. I mean, I love it more with the Yankees. But I even enjoy watching the Mets. And there were storylines to be unpacked from that. it's never quite, it never sounds quite as boisterous like watching it from the TV as it does like what I heard on TV, and then the way it was described on social media wasn't necessarily compatible, but from my ear, I actually thought Pete got the biggest pop from the TV.
Yeah, it was hard for me to decipher. And as for Vlad, any kind of cheer for an opposing player on opening day, that's a big deal. And he did get a warm reception from the Met fans. 888-808-1019.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
T and Sal on the Fan. We mentioned it. I don't know if we went over the specific numbers here. I didn't realize that it was a record for the Mets this weekend. 121,771 fans, Pac City Field. Let me just make sure. It is from SNY. Pac City Field this weekend to watch the Mets sweep the Blue Jays, a new ballpark record for the first home series of the season. And from experience, I just remember going to games. Opening day was always the biggest thing. Remember I told you used to wait online to go to buy opening day tickets? The next day or the day after, that
18,
was like
20, 25,000 max.
Yeah, I mean, free tickets galore. If you wanted to go, nobody wanted to go. The weather was hideous this weekend.
Yeah.
It was the Blue Jays. Now, it was a weekend, which is also different, too. Because sometimes you would open, let's say, on a Tuesday, theoretically, and then a Wednesday or Thursday, Friday is not going to be as good as a weekend. But all things considered, I think it's refreshing and rightfully rewarding to the owner who's earned this. I don't want to say he deserves it. He's earned this by investing his money in not only free agents and the ball club at the major league level, but everywhere else. It's nice to see him rewarded with the fans showing up for the first home weekend of the series.
Yeah, I agree. And really, Sal, it would have been incredibly inconsistent if they didn't. Because all these years, all I heard from Met fans were, and I'm not saying that they were wrong, complaining about Wilpon. Ah, so cheap. Ah, we never get the real players. Ah, we don't do this. Ah, we don't. It must have been incredibly frustrating. So you've got to reward somebody who's treating this the way you always hoped an owner would treat it, with the highest sense of urgency and passion. I think it's great. And by the way, it's not really that dissimilar from, I remember going through this a couple of weeks ago, you and I, maybe when Cohen talked about the attendance, because he went on the record a couple of weeks ago, and I don't blame him. I know school's back in September, but last year you're fighting for a playoff spot, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, September. All right, not ideal, but you can't have 14, 16, 18,000 people in Queens and 38, 39, 40,000 people in the Bronx and say it's equal, because it's not. I think it will be more equal this year. Yanks will always draw, but I think that with the Mets now, there's that pop from the year before, and that happened in the mid-'80s with the Mets. There's always, I don't know why, you would think that in real time.
The year of, right.
It just, historically, it has not gone that way in baseball going back 35, 40 years in the city.
Right, so last year, plus Soto, plus the moves, it's going to be that pop. So then my question is, do you think this is the beginning of a Yankee-like attendance run? I know what has to follow. I'll get to that in a second. But do you think we're seeing...
Can't say that.
Just
can't
because
say
it's
that.
Too early?
Too early. Can't say it. I think it's got a chance. I think it's got a chance. The only reason I say no is I'm playing the odds here. Because for that to happen, one of two things need to happen. Either the Yankees need to stay where they are and the Mets need to consistently meet them, which hasn't happened in a long time. So that's obviously a leap of faith. Or the Yankees would have to come down.
Well, you think that the Yankees' success will correlate with the Mets' attendance?
No. What I'm saying is for the Mets' attendance to mirror the Yankees. That's what you're asking me, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Or just not exactly.
No, but comparable. Yes. Where like it's meaning not like 39,000 in the Bronx and 21,000 in Queens.
Or meaning that it's not just a sellout on opening day or versus the Yankees or for a big series.
Yeah.
Meaning that on a Wednesday night against the Pirates, it's going to be a sellout.
That's what I thought you meant. Yeah. So, but again, there's two variables. Okay. Number one, for them to be equal or comparable in the same neighborhood, the Yankees would either have to stay where they are, which I think they will, and the Mets would obviously have to meet them, and I think there's a chance that they could. The other way would be if the Yankees slide from an attendance perspective and the Mets have an uptick, but not an overwhelming uptick, then I think it could be more equal. I actually think there's probably a greater probability that the Yankees stay where they are, and then the Queens crowds grow.
That's
so
what I think.
Pretty comparable.
I'm with you, too. I think that
I got to see it, though.
I think it is the beginning. Now, the one key is going to be winning, and it was refreshing to see, starting with the owner who invests in the team, invests in the ballpark, invests in the entertainment aspect of everything. He does that. The Met fans show up, and then the team sweeps the series.
Yeah.
You had the perfect owner gives the fans... Fans give back to the owner, the team gives the fans back.
Mm-hmm.
That's the recipe, that's the cycle
that's how it goes.
For success. And I'll tell you, even watching these games, I think it was Saturday night specifically.
That was the one with Winker, right? Saturday night.
So obviously the dramatics, whatever. And the Mets aren't even playing great baseball,
by the way. They're not
clicking, not even close to clicking on all cylinders. But it is an event. They, you know, the thing with the bullpen, the lights and the big.
I like the lights more than you. I think the lights look pretty good.
It's not for me.
Same thing
with the dancers. Like it's a show.
Nah, forget about the dance. That's not for me.
But I'm just saying, it is an experience.
Yeah, I know it is.
That when the team is winning, and there are 40,000 or whatever the numbers are plus, it's intoxicating.
Mm-hmm.
That feeling that you have, you want more of it. So when everybody else is going there and you're having a great time, you're going to want to go back for more and back for more. And that's where they're at right now. Now, it's hard to keep it here.
Yeah.
Meaning that if the Mets had a dud of an opening series and they got swept, it would start to feel less about that. But if they... Hard to keep it here.
It would feel less, or it would equal less bodies in the seats for the first. I don't know if I see that.
I don't know about the first three games.
Oh, okay. I was going to say,
I think eventually, and I'm sure there'll be a downtick, during the regular season, this week.
Yeah.
Right? A home weekday series different outside of it.
I mean, there shouldn't be, though.
I guess
if they're going to take that step forward, they're not playing great, but they're winning. They just swept
them. That's all that matters.
They got the last game against the Miami Marlins, could have lost the series. And right now they're playing well, and they haven't really clicked yet. Listen, I think when you look at the bells and the whistles, I really, and you don't see this in too many baseball stadiums, I like when the lights are out. Feels like an NBA venue. It pops. I think kids love it.
Yeah.
I think it looks pretty fresh. I think it looks great on TV. But the bottom line with that stuff, when you're winning, it's cool. Look at the Mets. Mets are current. Mets are popping. When you're losing, look at this corny subway race, the mascots.
Right,
or
I know.
The dancers or the grimace or whatever. It really depends how you're playing.
But the recipe is now there. Owner spends, fans show up, team wins, everybody's having fun. That will lead to the owner spending more or keep doing it. Fans will keep showing up. The team's just got to follow up. And that's the most important thing. Teams just got to follow up with the win. All right, let's get some calls in here, BT, 888-808-1019. Daniel's calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Daniel?
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm a big fan of the show. It's my first time calling in.
Nice.
I love that you guys were talking about the Yankee Met. Stadium rivalry, because number one, I always felt that I'm a big Yankee fan. I always felt that Citi Field was a better overall venue. I felt that the view from the stadium was a little bit better at Yankee Stadium. But when you talk, when you guys are talking about the attendance numbers, I don't think it's ever going to be. I think the Yankees are always going to be on top because they're just a much they're a bigger brand, they're a bigger draw. I mean, if you look at 2023, the Yankees had what, their worst year in my entire life for sure, and they were second in attendance. I mean, the Mets would have to really, really blow the top off the Yankees.
Danny, I got a question for you, Dan. By the way, I pretty much agree with that because you know it takes a long time to change history. Not that it can't happen, but it doesn't happen in one, you know, one off season or a year or so. How old are you, though? I'm curious.
I'm 20 years old.
Okay, gotcha. I felt that you were young, not because you sounded, but because your perspective omits a point where it actually did happen, where the Mets did outthrow the Yankees in the mid-'80s.
Right, so it did happen.
But they couldn't sustain it. That was the thing.
And also, the Yankees didn't draw well. So before you were born, Daniel, thank you for the call.
before he was born.
Well, think about it. He's only 20, for goodness sake. He doesn't even remember the 90s, which is hard to believe. So the Yankees built this sustained attendance because of the dynasty years, and it just hasn't stopped for 30-plus years, right, of having that winning, and even the Yankees' bad years, they're still a good ball club generally with a chance to go to the postseason or a postseason appearance. Happened, what, four times in the last 30-something seasons that they haven't made it. So this is, I'm not saying that the Mets are overnight going to catch the Yankees. What I'm saying is we might be witnessing the beginning of the Mets starting to have that sustained run of attendance like the Yankees did, as long as the team follows through and wins. That's really the final piece. Everything was put in place by the owner. The fans are showing up and acknowledging it. They got the stars. Now they just got to go out there and win. And this could be the beginning. We won't know until 5, 6, 10 years down the road, but we could be witnessing the beginning of the resurgence of the consistent top attendance for the Mets.
And everything's lined up right now except the toughest part, which is to be elite consistently, and we'll see if they could get there. You know, the one thing I hear this a lot every time it comes up, Yanks-Mets attendance comparisons, right? And I don't agree with it, but quite frankly, I'm open to be converted. I rule it out fast. For whatever reason, when I hear this on the radio, I've never said it on the radio, but when I hear it, I'm like, nah, I don't think that applies. Maybe I'm wrong. So when people talk about the Yankees' advantage with the attendance, sure, there's more Yankee fans than Met fans. I don't know the exact percentage, but whatever. Yeah, the history, okay. I hear a lot of people say, well, you know, Yankee Stadium's an event, it's a museum, so that when you have all these outsiders, that's what I was looking for, thank you. All these tourists come into the city that they migrate to the stadium to check that box. I feel like they do that with the Knicks.
Yes.
I don't feel like that's a baseball thing necessarily, do you?
No, but if there were, and by the way, even now, like I said, with Soto and the Mets, going to Citi Field is becoming a thing, even for the non-Met fan. But going to Yankee Stadium, yes, if you were coming from whatever town.
St. Louis.
Okay, and you're a baseball fan, or at least you're looking for something to do, and you're a sports fan, yeah, now it's a pain in the neck to get to if you're staying in Manhattan.
Yeah.
Maybe not that big of a pain in the neck, but you get the point. The
garden's not cheap, right, or you got to hop on trains. You don't know the system.
Yeah, exactly. But the garden's right here. So I do think, without a question, Knicks and Rangers, 100% anything that's going on at the world's most famous arena, people are going to show up to. But, yeah, the Yankee brand, people may come from all over the place and say, hey, I want to go to Yankee Stadium and see the Yankees. I think that is a thing.
I think the other thing, too, is, you know, you and I were talking the other day about some of the ballparks that we've been to that's come up from time to time. I think if you're the kind of baseball fan, and there's a lot of you out there that, you know, go to, hey, I've been to the new Busch, or I've been to Petco, or I've been to Seattle, or I've been to San Francisco to watch, you know, just checking boxes. I think if you're that kind of baseball fan outside of the tri-state area, I think you probably check both boxes. You go watch the Yankees, you go watch the Mets.
Good point. You know, I think there's, I don't know how much of an impact it would have in the Yankees' attendance.
Not night to night. I think that's unfair.
Right, but certainly their prestige is going to draw a little bit more. And I'm not saying the Mets will ever have that prestige, but right now, if you're talking about the exciting ticket and show in town with Soto, with the ballpark, doing all those things, I think the Mets are at least on par in the short term. Would you disagree with that? Better ballpark?
I think people can spend a lot of money to go see the second best player in New York, Juan Soto.
BT itself hasn't even gotten going.
Hey, Judge is still the man. Let's not get it twisted, bro.
Yeah.
Let's not get it twisted. All right. Well, in the regular season. Go ahead. This is coming up a little bit. Obviously, Tariq Skubal going for the Tigers. Not off to a good start. 0-2 with a 5-9-1.
Tomorrow, right? You're saying?
Tomorrow, Skubal. Skubal tomorrow. Today's a lineup. Ben Rice, Judge, Bellinger. So now Judge back at the 2 spot. All right. Belly, Goldschmidt, Jazz, Volpe, Wells, Trent Grisham, who's been piping hot, Cabrera, and Rodon on the mound. Skubal is not pitching well so far. They will face him tomorrow.
It's Casey Mize today, right-handed pitcher, which obviously makes sense with the lineup.
Yep, Ben Rice at top of the order, been hitting the ball pretty well. The exit velo's there. He's had some good at-bats. He's a lefty. He's going first. And also, just give you guys a heads up, a lot of different things going on. So you can listen to the Yankees game with coverage starting at 2:30, 3:10 on 6:60 a.m. and the Odyssey app. Okay, that's today. You can hear Evan and Tiki from 2 to 6:30 into the Lugauer on 101.9 FM from 6:30 to 7. And then tonight you got the NCAA Men's Championship College game at 7 on both AM and FM. So if you're looking for something, either AM side, FM side, we got you.
All right, there you go. BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Ralph is in Manhattan. What's up, Ralph?
Heard you guys talking about the tourist destinations in the city if you're a sports fan or going to a sports event. Yankee Stadium's number one, and it's not even close. You guys realize that, right?
No, it's not. I don't think so.
Well, Ralph, let me ask you this. If there's, let's just say, 45,000 people there on a Saturday, how many do you think are tourists?
On a Saturday in the summer, I mean, if I had to guess, maybe 10 to 15?
No way. 1,000? Are you insane?
No way.
Get out of here, Ralph.
And Ralph, what makes you think what makes you think Yankee Stadium is more of a tourist destination than Madison Square Garden?
Because it was made for tourists in Wall Street. That's who the stadium was built for in 09. They retrofitted it for fans, and they've done a nice job doing so.
Yeah.
But guys, and I know Hard Rock's a big sponsor, there's literally a chain restaurant in Yankee Stadium. And they didn't put that there for the bleacher creatures. They put it there for tourists who are visiting New York to eat and don't want to venture through the Bronx.
Yeah. I think anytime you have a new stadium, there's going to be a modernization, whether we love all the aspects of Yankee Stadium, which I don't. I like many of them for sure. But to think that you wouldn't appeal to the greater portion of people, that's just dumb business 101. But to think that there's 15,000 tourists there, are you crazy?
No. I don't. Again, you look at, and comparing it to Madison Square Garden, the get-in price for a Yankee game compared to the get-in price for a Rangers game, even in a down year or a Knicks game, that's not even close. As a, you know, for baseball, obviously, you got, 81 home games, so you got a lot more options if you're a tourist as well. And then for Yankee Stadium specifically, and especially as it relates to Citi Field, a little easier to get there with the multiple train lines. So,
all right. I mean, listen, I think that when you go to, thanks for the call there, Ralph. You know, if you're coming to New York from Paris, or you're coming from Australia, or even the West Coast, right? And you don't spend much time on the East Coast here, or Canada, or South, like anywhere, really, I guess is what I'm saying. Hey, I pick a continent. I don't have to run through the whole world. You know what I mean? But if you're coming here, there's a really good chance you're going to stay, if you have a few bucks, stay in Manhattan. And if you stay in Manhattan, you're probably more inclined to, if you're staying at a hotel, to stay in Manhattan, go to Broadway show, go to Central Park, go to a nice restaurant. I'm not saying that you won't venture out to the stadium occasionally, but to think that on a Saturday during the summer, you're talking 10, 12, 15,000 people who don't care about the Yankees at the stadium? It's ludicrous.
Let me ask you, and now I really have no idea about this.
I don't either, but I can promise you it ain't 15.
But how many tourists do you think the city would get, Times Square would get, over the course of a weekend in the summer?
Now, that's a massive number.
Okay, but what? Like, are we talking about,
it might be hundreds of thousands. I mean, Times Square.
100,000 people on any given weekend? I don't know. I'm really
I think we could actually get that number. And I'll do some digging. I don't know how accurate or how updated it will be. Are you kidding? The overflow of people coming from outside of our country to Times Square?
No, understood. That's what I'm saying. I know it's going to be a lot, but I was curious of how many on a weekend. I'm not talking about for a full week, for the entire summer. If it's 100,000 tourists over the course of a summer weekend,
I think it might be more.
What was your guesses?
I said 100,000. I think it's more.
I didn't even guess. I have no idea.
It's got to be more.
Yeah, it's definitely more than 100,000.
Per weekend?
On average, says 330,000 pedestrians daily, with peak weekend numbers reaching 460,000.
No, not pedestrians. Tourists.
Significant portion of those are tourists. So 460,000.
Yeah, if you take 25% of the 400,000 at peak, that's about 100,000.
Right.
I think I'm in the neighborhood.
So then I don't think it's that far off if Ralph is saying that 15,000 of those 100,000 roughly would decide to go to Yankee Stadium.
It's not off on the math. I think it's off on the practicality of it. I mean, I've gone to, not thousands, hundreds of Yankee games, right? Now, say if they're playing Toronto, you'll see some Canadians coming in wearing blue. I don't mean
fans
of other teams, because you see that at Citi Field as well. You see it at the Garden.
No,
you
we're
know,
talking
Lakers
about
fans coming in, Knicks playing the Lakers.
We're talking about non
people wandering from Broadway. Oh, well, let me go and look at the what is this?
Innocent bystander or not?
Come on.
Yeah, which they go to the world's most famous. You know, just by going to the Garden forever, that you're surrounded by a lot of tourists that go to these games.
Yes. Yes, I agree.
We had people at our last Ranger game, Hoff, where they remember they were in front of us. It was me, you, Mitchell. Wait, yeah, you were there, right? It was me, you, Mitchell, and my.
No, I wasn't at that one.
You weren't at that one?
Not with the one with your kid.
No, Joey, not my daughter. No,
oh,
with
Joey.
Remember the people who passed out in front of us?
Oh, the guy, yes.
They were 100% tourists. Yeah.
Yes.
Why? Because they couldn't handle their booze? No, we labeled them tourists?
But here's the thing, though. Here's the thing, though, is you don't really stumble into the Bronx.
Right, whereas in
you could stumble to Times Square. You don't really kind of just like, what? Look, we're in front of the Yankee Stadium. How did we get here?
Yeah, you're right, BT, because even if the math works, 100,000, 15,000 of that 100, for the ballpark itself, for a ball game itself, 15,000.
I mean, you tell me, so a third of the fans just happen to be coming in from
no
Paris?
Way. No, no way.
I mean, come on. That's really the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And it's up there. I've said some dumb things. Lindor, lefty hitter. Give it up. Can't do it.
Justin's in Sayreville, New Jersey. What's up, Justin?
What's up, buddy?
How you doing?
Good. At least there were metrics that backed that up at the time. Go ahead, Justin.
That's true.
Yeah. My wife and I have season tickets for the Knicks at Madison Square Garden, obviously. And it's all tourists. Everyone you sit around is a tourist.
Right.
Well, wait, hold up. But now we're going too much the other way. So there's no Knicks fans now at the Garden. What? I think there's a lot of tourists.
Not a lot.
Yeah.
I would say it's pretty close, like 50-50, 40-60.
I don't know.
Where are you sitting, Justin? Not that I need the exact location. Give me a ballpark where you're at, where your seats are at.
Literally directly center court in the 200 level.
Okay, and that's what I'm saying. It's a good seat. That's going to be one that a lot of people are more of the diehard fans are going to be sitting higher up or probably in the cheaper seats.
Yep.
Whereas a tourist, if Justin and his counterparts are looking to put tickets up for sale, those are going to be gobbled up by the tourist crowd.
I also think there's probably more tourists, whether it's for Wembanyama. Think about the global expansion in the NBA.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's Dirk Nowitzki and you know, German fans coming. Basketball is far more global than baseball.
Yeah.
Now, baseball is big here. Baseball is big in the Latin countries, and baseball is big in Japan, right? But if you think about basketball, basketball's played in Moscow. Basketball's everywhere. You don't get baseball in London. I know they've had a couple of series. They're not playing high school baseball in London. They're not.
How many?
They're playing soccer, playing hoops, playing, you know, field hockey, lacrosse, whatever.
How many tourists do you think they had at UBS yesterday?
Well, I don't know if they were tourists. I know that they were maybe a lot of, you know, Washington Capitol fans and maybe some Canadian hockey fans get a piece of history. That was pretty wild, dude.
And we'll get to that when we come back.
We got
to
talk about that.
And we'll continue the conversation as well. 888-808-1019. Mets, Yanks, I guess. Attendance, if that's your thing. We'll talk Ovechkin when we come back. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear.
getting married, don't rent some random suit. At Knix, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knix Menswear, your friend in style.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.